You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look at chapter number 15. And I'm going to deal with two verses of Scripture on this evening. And then we're going into prayer. Y'all excited? All right. And of course, we're reading from the New King James Version. And notice, if you will, 1 Corinthians 15. Notice verses number 1 and verses number 2. And here's the reading of God's Word, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now, I'm going to deal with both of these verses, but my topic this evening is going to come from verse number 2. Notice Paul says that they were saved by the preaching of the gospel. But notice he says, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you. I'm going to be saved if I hold fast to the word which was preached to me. And so based upon these two verses and what I've said, my topic on this evening is just simply keep holding on. Keep holding on. You need to encourage yourself and say, I need. Finish it. Let's give God a hand clap for the text and the topic. I want you to notice in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15 that the Apostle Paul identifies his audience in Corinth as brethren. I want to echo what the Lord taught us on Sunday, how important it is for us to know who we are. And one character trait that faith walkers need to know who they are is that we are the brethren. When it comes to being the brethren, whether male or female, it suggests a number of things, but two things on particular tonight that I want you to consider to be noteworthy. First of all, when you consider someone to be a part of the brethren, it says that that person or group of people have been changed. They have been changed, of course, by Christ. Yes, they have been converted. They have repented of their sins, and they have made Jesus their Lord and their Savior. And I don't know about you, but I am one of those types of saints that's glad that I have been changed. Oh, do you still have that joy on the inside of you that the Lord gave you and that the world cannot take away? Man, when I look back at some of my old pictures and I think about how I used to be, I can't do nothing but just throw my hands up toward heaven and say, thank God he changed me. Anybody in here can take just a few minutes to thank God that he changed me. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't go some of the same places that I used to go. And it's just not my own personal testimony. We can do like Paul. We can behold, or you can look at our lives, and you can tell that we have been changed. How many know it's not only an inward change, but it's going to be an outward change? Woo! The Lord done changed the way I dress. He done changed the way I think, the way I talk, the way I act. Oh, Paul said, behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. I'm getting excited right about now. I'm still glad to be saved. What about you? I still give God a victory term because he changed me. And it's just not something for the grown folk. Young folk need to be happy that they are changed. You may have not never sniffed no cocaine. You may have not never snorted or shot no heroin, but you was like us on your way to hell until you gave your life to Jesus. Oh, look at somebody and say, I'm glad I'm changed. Breath ain't always been fresh and minty. You ain't always covered up your bosom. You used to do a little something strange for a piece of change, but I have been. I've been changed. And I'm glad about it. But to be a part of the brethren, it also means that we are connected. It means that we are unified. It means that we are on the same page. You may be 12, I may be 48, but since we both have been washed in the blood of Jesus, we are connected. Oh, you got the Holy Ghost, I got the Holy Ghost. We should be connected. Yeah, it's okay if you got a little gray. You got your AARP card. That's all right. But as long as you are thinking word, talking word, acting word, we are connected. I love the way the Lord broke it down in a contemporary way on Sunday. We in the same boat. Jesus was on one level, the disciples was on another level, but they was all in the same boat. How many know we in this thing together? I need you. You may not be on the praise team, but we connected. You may not be a deacon, but we are. You may have been saved for 5 days, but we are. David said, when brethren are connected or unified, good and pleasant things are going to happen. That's why I get excited about Tuesday night prayer, because them real soldiers coming to the church on Tuesday night prayer. Folk are coming to God's house to connect and touch and agree. And we know if two or three are gathered in his name, God's presence is going to be right here in the midst. And I feel them right now. Oh, do you feel God's presence in the house? I'm expecting good things to happen tonight. I'm expecting to hear God's word and something good and pleasant happen tonight. Don't be coming to the altar playing tonight and mess up the corporate blessing. You better put sleep in its place. We need to be on the same. And so those are two terms that have to do with being the brethren. I'm changed and we connected. We on the same page. Now, when you look at our text, Paul begins to brag about the brethren in this letter to the Corinthian church. He begins to brag about them and their actions. That it should be something that the brethren in our day and time should learn from and likewise apply. For the scripture lets us know that the scripture was written for our learning. So we need to learn from what Paul said here. Notice in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you helped me, in which you stand." Three quick truths he bragged about in this verse number 1 about the Corinthian church. First of all, Paul talked about in the text how he preached the gospel to them. He preached the gospel to them. How many know that there are churches in our day and time where preachers are doing everything except giving the congregation the gospel? I don't know how you feel about it, whether you are young or whether you are an adult. I need the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news is found in God's word. And the good news comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, look at somebody and say, the gospel is the good news. It's a good message. Yeah, it's going to be a message that's filled with truth. And that good news may make you happy one Sunday, but the good news may step on your neck and your back and your toes on another Sunday. But I need the good news to be preached to me so I can have everything that the Lord promised that we could have. Am I alone on tonight? The gospel, Paul went on to say, is what everyone needs, but especially first the sinner. Yeah, the sinner needs to know you don't have to keep living in sin. Yeah, the gospel can save you. If you are here tonight and you are still practicing sin, that is not your only option. There is another option on the table. It just says that our gospel does not need to be hid. We need to talk about this thing, because if you're practicing sin, that means your eyes have been covered by the God of this world. At least the gospel should shine on you. And so what should you do if demons have you oppressed? What should you do if you know you're going to die and go to hell? Repent and believe the gospel. You ought to spread the news down your road. Say, if you're not saved, repent and believe the gospel. Repent means to turn. Do an about face. Instead of going to the club, go to the church. Instead of getting drunk, you get drunk on the new wine. Just make a change, and the Lord will help you to make a change. But sinners just don't need the gospel. The brethren need the gospel. Paul said in the book of Romans that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If I'm going to be protected, if I'm going to be delivered, and if I am going to prosper, I got to have a preacher that has been anointed and sent from God to preach the good news to me so I can believe. How can they believe except they have a preacher? And how can they preach except he be sent? Oh, can I pause for the cause? I thank God that we have sent preacher here at a place of refuge. Paul just didn't preach to them and their life was changed. God has sent us a preacher that has preached the gospel to us and our lives have changed. Not just spiritually, but we have gotten better mentally. We have gotten better financially. Our health has got better. Y'all sit there and act new if you want. But I know it wasn't nothing but the preached gospel that got me prospering. Now, I know some of y'all done came from money. You done had money all your life. But that was not the case with me. I needed the preached gospel to help me. Look at somebody and say, Baker needed help. Yeah, I was jacked up in my thinking. I was jacked up in my talking. And I was so jacked up in my actions. Y'all want to know how jacked up I was? Man, I used to go to restaurants. I used to go to restaurants with my best friend, my wife. Both of us hungry. Go to the nice restaurant. Sit down at the restaurant, and the waitress would come out. Hello, welcome to so-and-so. Would you like some appetizers before you start your entree? I was so jacked up, I would look at the menu, and I'd be like, these appetizer prices, they are just about the same as these entree prices, minus $2 or $3. You know what? I think I'm going to get me a straw, some extra napkins, some lemon for this water, and how much for these extra garlic bread right here? Is there any charge for that? No, sir. Well, you know what? I'm going to stay right there. Go ahead and bring me some extra garlic bread. But when I heard the gospel preached to me and I learned that I could taste and see that the Lord was good, I hurry up and change my lifestyle. Welcome to the restaurant. Can we help you? Yes. I see y'all have crab cakes. Do you recommend that? Oh, yes, I do. These crab cakes, they are all meat and no filler. You get two with your order. Oh, is that right? Do you recommend them? Yes, I do. We have our extra special sauce that goes on them. Oh, that sounds so good. You know what? I think I'm going to order some of them. Now, let me tell you, since the pandemic, our prices have gone up to $35 for these crab cakes. You know what? Go on and bring me an order of them crab cakes. I done had the gospel preached to me. If I be willing and obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. Ain't no way these sinners supposed to be eating all this good food, and I'm up in here living right. You better keep preaching that gospel. Change my mind. I can drive what I want. I can wear what I want. Look at somebody and say, I need to preach gospel. Y'all said that. How many know it's some good stuff in here? It's some good stuff in this earth. Man, when I had the gospel preached to me and I found out that the meek inherit the earth, that let me know God want me to enjoy my time here on earth. That's good gospel preaching. Now look, check this out, saints. God wants us to enjoy stuff here on this earth, even if you can't pronounce what it is that you like. I better put my glasses on for that one right there. Man, I used to window shop and wish. I used to tell my wife one day. I used to go by stores, look at the price tag, and say, nah, we going somewhere else. But when you get that gospel preached to you, you start finding out about shoes, clothes, cars, and stuff. Look, you can't even halfway pronounce, but you done heard in that Bible that the Lord said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the... You don't know nothing about that. Christian Louboutin. What's that? Oh, red bottoms. Yeah, I want red bottoms. Christian Louboutin. Oh, what is that belt with the two A's on it? Oh, that belt right there, that $300 belt right there, that's called that. Oh, I wrote it down. Salvatore Ferragamo. Look, you can't even pronounce it, but you like it. What kind of shirt is that? Let me go back to my note. Y'all laughing, but y'all know what I'm talking about. You know it's some nice stuff out there, but you can halfway say it. Google pronounce. But the gospel, the word, helps us to possess our heart's desire. We need a preacher. Let's go on. Verse 1. Then it says he not only preached the gospel, but the brethren received it. It's one thing to go to a church where you got a preacher preaching, but it's another thing to have members that receive. Young people that come to God's house, not just to hear the message, but they receive it. Again, he bragging. Because Paul later said about the Roman church and gave us revelation that not all have obeyed the gospel. I wonder, are you the type of member that is just a hearer of the word and not a doer? He was bragging. Look, these folk got preached to and they turned around and received the word. How many know that needs to be us or continue to be us? Because the Bible warns us that as soon as we get preached to, immediately comes Satan to try to take the word out of our heart. But I made up in my mind, I'm just going to make sure I hide God's word in my heart so I don't sin against him. But then he says they were preached to. Y'all still with me? They received the word. And then he said they're standing on the word. They're standing on the word. Trials came their way, but they're still standing on the word. They're in their fixed place. They're still walking in their purpose, despite what's going on in their life. Oh, Paul talking real good about him, ain't he? And how many know we are in a season to where we just gotta receive the word and stand on it? But then as I go into what I really want to deal with in verse number 2, the Apostle Paul kind of switches a little bit. And he reminds them in verse 2, by which also, still talking about the preached gospel or word, he says, you are saved. It's almost as if he was writing to that he knew that they were receiving the word, standing on the word, but something has been going on to where some of them had stopped standing the way they used to stand. Remember, you're going to be saved by this message that has been preached by me if you stand and hold fast to what I preached you. It's an indication that some may have begun to cast away their confidence. It's an indication that some may have gotten weary in well-doing. And I can only speak from my personal experience. One thing that I have battled with, and I'm not talking about 15 years ago, I'm talking about in 2022, to where you know what your man of God has preached. You've received it and you've put it into operation. But what you have been expecting God to do is not happening on your timetable. It may not be going down the way that you desire for it to go down. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? You get to looking at the time you done put in with the Lord. Lord, I've been in you so much time. Surely by now, you would have been done did what I done put before you. You try to flip over to Hezekiah and try to turn your face to the wall and shed some tears, but it just don't go down the way it went down for Hezekiah for you. And if you're not careful, you can start looking at God in an evil or wicked way. Instead of doing like Job and not sinning with your lips and holding on to your integrity, you can start looking at God like, what's going on with you? I'm at every service, taking notes. I'm on the road when the man go preach. I'm putting on the altar the first offering, what you asking. I'm putting it on the altar plus some. Lord, you even told me on occasion to crack open the envelope and add more to it. I'm talking from experience. And you can start doing what Paul warned us not to do. You start looking at things that are seen. And see, if you read that text and go up a couple of verses, he said, we do not lose heart, though our outward man perishes. And he talks about some other things, but then he gets to, look, we don't look at that which is seen. That which is seen is temporary. But when you get out of the spirit and get in your flesh, you start looking at things based upon your own mindset, your own carnal mind. Just like we saw the disciples on Sunday and what the Lord revealed. When they should have been following the Spirit or Jesus, they got their eyes on the storm, got their eyes on their trouble. And see, if you ever find yourself in a predicament like that, do what I did. Repent. Just repent. Man, I was in my little feelings and talking to God about some stuff. And for a couple of days, he didn't give me no answer. Until finally, let me tell you what the Lord told me when I was pouting and pitying myself. You know what he said? He said, Baker, you do know I am the Lord God. You do know I can do what I want to do. You do know there is an appointed time for me to do what you're asking me to do. I had to get in God's word. That's what, just get in my word. Just get in my word and just heed what the prophet has been saying. Get out of your own mindset and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now y'all done fell off. Maybe I'm just teaching to myself. And so once you done repented and seen the error of your ways, we got to remember what Paul said. You got to just hold fast. Woo, you just got to hold fast. Look at somebody and say, you just got to hold fast. Now, I could have went to a number of scriptures in my study. Sometimes you can hold fast to your confession. Sometimes you can hold fast to your profession. But here in the text, he says, hold fast to the word that I preached to you. Hold fast to that rhema word that your man of God laid down for you so simply to follow, and you said, that was my word. Is anybody in here still holding on? Is anybody encouraged in here to hold on? Because I can remember a number of things that the man of God has preached over the last several months and sometimes years. I can remember where he said, when you stay in God's will, that God will cause you to be blessed from seven different ways. But when you look at your life, you may only see two ways coming right now. Just hold on. Look at somebody say, just keep holding on. Yeah, that's going to change if we just hold right on. Them seven different ways, it's going to come. Some of you been holding on for your healing. Don't you know it's here? It just hasn't manifested in your life. You just got to keep. It hurts, Pastor. I know. It's called suffering. And the Bible says if we suffer with him, if we suffer the way he wants us to suffer, if we don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try us, but rejoice in the midst of your suffering. Give God a praise in the midst of your suffering. Now I'm talking to you. Go ahead and just give God the praise. And healing is going to go from the unseen to the realm to where your eye can see and your ear can hear. Oh, look at somebody said, we got to keep holding on. The Bible talks about how the Lord knows our labor. The Lord knows our prayer life. The Lord knows our works. We just got to continue to hold on until he decides to do what he promised us he would do. And we know when it comes to our God, all of the promises of God are yes and amen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in this realm. It's already done happened in the unseen realm, but it's going to happen in this, it's going to happen. Look at somebody say, it's going to happen. It's going to manifest. And when it happens, it's going to speak for itself. You're going to have a testimony. Folk going to be able to say, oh, so that's what happens when you hold on. That's what happens when you keep bringing God his tithe and his offering. That's what happens when you keep pressing even though you are hurting. Look at somebody and say, you got to keep holding on. Oh, Baker, you gotta keep holding on. Single folk, don't compromise. Just keep holding. Gotta keep holding on. A number of verses I could have went to give a picture of how the saints should hold on. But the Spirit of God dealt with me to put in your hearing tonight about Jacob. In Genesis, I believe it's the 32nd chapter, it talks about how Jacob knew what was preached to him from the Lord. The Lord told Jacob that he would treat him well. He would defend him from his brother Esau. And finally, that he would multiply his descendants as the sea or the sand by the sea. And so the text goes on to say that there came a time to where Jacob was alone and he was wrestling with an angel. He was wrestling with an angel, and he was wrestling with this angel, the Bible says, until the breaking of the day. And so the man looked at Jacob because the angel could not prevail against Jacob. And he turned to Jacob and he said, let me go. And Jacob said, no, I will not let you go. And so the Bible says that the angel touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and the socket of his hip went out of its joint. He got an advantage over Jacob, but Jacob still wrestled with him. He just kept holding on to that angel, and he told him, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. The angel turned around and said, Jacob, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, no longer is your name Jacob, but Israel. Because you have wrestled with God, you have wrestled with man, and you have prevailed. And then the Bible says, and he blessed him there. What are you saying, Pastor Baker? I'm telling you, like Jacob, we got to keep fighting. We got to hold on until the Lord blesses us right where we are. I'm holding on. Look at me funny, but I'm still holding on. You may have got your blessing, but are you connected to your brother and sister where you can pray for them that they keep holding on? They keep holding on. And when you look in the hall of faith, or what we call the hall of faith in Hebrews 11, it talks about how Jacob and others, they received the promises of God by faith. It was a faith thing. Him holding on was by faith. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go to God in prayer. And we're going to let the Lord know we're still holding on. We're still holding on despite what doctors have been saying, how family members are treating us, how church folk act sometimes, and even sometimes how we get out of line. Lord, forgive us. I'm still holding on. I'm going to pray for my brother on tonight. Pray for my sister on tonight. Is anybody willing to connect with me in prayer that we keep holding on? Come on and let's give God a hand clap for the word on tonight.